Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
We got a ton of stuff to cover. It's a Monday show, so we are jam-packed to try and get this into 30, 33 minutes, whatever it is. So I could have gone a ton of different directions with tip of the cap to John Sterling, officially retired over the weekend. Nice ceremony in front of all the fans out there in the Bronx. That was very cool. Shohei, yes? Are you going
to
ask about
the TV was interesting to me. Like, I liked it. It was funny. It's funny. But, like, the pictures of this massive TV box with him, I think, are kind of interesting. Doesn't seem very Yankees-like to me.
No. Particularly when it was like, I think that Paul Oldham was like, and now it is the official television carrier of the New York Yankees presenting
it. Oh, that makes more sense.
80-inch flat screen TV. And I was like,
it's a nice TV, though.
You know, it was nice. I was like, hey, man, can you send that out west if he doesn't want it, since he's got so many of them? Could have done tip of the cap to one of two Dodgers, Tyler Glasnow, the first Dodger pitcher since 2022, and by Kershaw to pitch into the eighth inning. Could have gone Shohei, who is now the all-time Major League Baseball home run leader by a Japanese-born player. Those were all significant, amazing. Instead, we're going with Cam Boozer of the Red Sox. And you're like, who? He's a guy who came out of the pen. He quit the sport in 2017. He had injuries. He actually got freaking hit by a car and injured his back while he was rehabbing. He also had a 50-game drug suspension, so some of this was personally induced. But he came back after becoming a carpenter, and he pitched in Major League game over the weekend. You can see how emotional the dude is. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I believe he started with the Twins. I definitely remember the name. But when you see stories like this of perseverance and, you know, sacrifice, a little bit of hiccups along the way, but you work your way back and you realize when you watch them like this, just how much of a dream job it is to play in the big leagues. And you work so hard at it and so difficult to get there. When you see a guy get a shot like this and then also perform, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's get it going here. We're going to start in the National League East, which has been an interesting division so far. More encouraging for the Phillies and Mets that they have each won 7 of their last 8 games, or more frustrating for the Mets and Phillies because in that same span, they've only picked up a single game on the Atlanta Braves.
I think it's more encouraging for both of those teams. They both understand what the Braves are and, you know, what it's going to take to win that division. But I believe teams just around the league are looking at seasons differently nowadays with the expanded playoffs. I think it's a race to like 90 wins. Like, let's just count those W's and get to 90 wins. We'll get in the dance and then we'll go from there. I really believe that's how teams are approaching seasons now. And that's different from years past where it's like, hey, I want to win that division. Now, clearly they want to be on top of the division and all this, but I think they're very happy the way things have gone lately for them. You know, Philly's beating up on some bad teams, but you got to do that. I like the Philly Connect uniforms, by the way, had to mention that. It looked really good.
Oh, hold on. And, you did like those?
Oh, I liked them a lot.
Really?
I really liked them. Yeah. You weren't into it?
I don't know, man. I was not. No. Mm-mm. I'll be.
I think if you're going to do unis like that, like, they should be different. Like, I love the Red Sox ones because they look nothing like a Red Sox uniform. Obviously, the same thing in Philly. It's Padres. I think those ones are the coolest to me.
Yes, Padres.
Like the Dodgers one, what'd they do? Just Los Dodgers on it? Like, come on, man.
There we are. Dan's just putting it anywhere on the screen. He's just taking a picture. There it is. Yeah, well, they wore them in the games, too. So if you wanted to see moving video, I don't know. They look better in the graphic art than they did on the field. I just thought they were weird looking. But we're not here to discuss full uniforms. I am wearing a Phillies hat. I am wearing the Philly Fanatic hat because I loved it that they wore their batting practice hats on the field Sunday for the Fanatic's birthday, which was – that was really cool. And you know what I love as well is that their freaking rotation has been dominant. You know, like,
oh,
we
my goodness.
I think it was last week we asked whether or not Ranger Suarez made them like the top triumvirate of starting pitchers. Well, they've gone deeper so far this year.
Yes.
Spencer Turnbull, who was a guy I thought had a real chance to make it with Detroit, and then he had the arm injury after the no-hitter, and now he's trying to find his way in Philly. And Christopher Sanchez is a guy that has given them some moments over the last couple of years. I mean, if those two guys can at least be dependable, then they are going to press the Braves all year long.
I think they're going to. Chris Sanchez, he's running some bad luck. Like, I think he's got the stuff to, I mean, if you're putting him in the back of your rotation, 4 or 5, he's got plenty of stuff there. Turnbull's had a great first 4 starts through the rotation. So, yeah, I mean, they kind of have it all going on there in Philly. I mean, they're, again, it's like a race to 90 wins. Let's get there. I don't know if you answered the question, Chris.
Yeah,
but I'm going to say it's definitely more encouraging that you're getting these victories.
I would agree with that. Now, it was also the tale of two catchers in this division this weekend, right, where Travis d'Arnaud had his second career 3-home-run game as a catcher. There's only 2 other players that have done that in the history of the sport as a catcher. Gary Carter, Johnny Bench, and now Travis d'Arnaud is mentioned in that group. So that is some pretty rarefied air. And then he had another huge home run on Saturday to help the Braves beat the champs.
Yeah, he looks really good. He looks really good.
And then, unfortunately, the news about Francisco Alvarez, who's going to be out months. I mean, now they're saying we hope to get him back by the end of the year. He's having thumb surgery, injured his UCL in his thumb. I guess, is that right? The UCL in your thumb? That's what I thought I read.
Okay.
I thought a UCL was only in your elbow, but maybe I misread that. Whatever it was, it's a thumb injury, ligament.
Yes,
thumb.
It is.
So that's the problem. Whether it's UCL, other initials, and that sucks for him. I know he hadn't been off to a great start, but he just feels like one of those dudes who is going to be back there for like 12 years in Queens doing his thing. And that's tough.
Lindor got it going this series, which is really nice to see against the Dodgers. And then also Starling Marte is like really good to start the year. So that's really encouraging if you're Mets fans.
Well, those are the guys that we've talked about, though, that needed to get it done, you know. And just one last point on the Phillies. They had Turnbull took a no-hitter into the 7th. Wheeler then took one into the 8th.
Yep.
Going into Sunday's game when Eloy Jimenez went
Bryce had to field that ball, by the way.
I know he
with
did.
Wheeler. I don't know if he was going to make it all through 9 because he was already like 100 pitches to start the 8th. But like, I think Bryce made that play to end the game, didn't he? It was like the same ball down the line.
Yeah,
he scooped it up.
What a bummer. But Philly went into Sunday's action with more than 31 consecutive shutout innings from their starters. So they got something going on there. All right, Yanks, they take yet another series. They've only lost one series all year, this one against the Rays. The big news continues to be the yin and yang at the top of the order with Soto and Judge. Another homer by Soto over the weekend, a blast. Clark Schmidt said of the free agent to be, quote, I guess sign the dotted line with whatever he wants. Meanwhile, Aaron Judge continues to struggle in this series, 2 of 11, 7 strikeouts. That included 4 on Saturday. And yes, a chorus of boos.
Does that bother you when Yankee fans vent a little bit at you?
Oh, I've heard worse, and I'd probably be doing the same thing in their situation.
Okay. So what's the bigger deal here? Soto's dominance with his new team or the fact that Judge's struggles and then the fan reaction that follows?
I think the bigger news is what Juan Soto's been able to do. I do love Judge's response. He almost like, is he daring Yankee fans to boo him even harder? He's like, I've heard worse before. But he'll get it going, man. I know he's been exposed a little bit, you know, on the outside part of the plate this year. But he's a guy that's got about as consistent of a swing as you can get. He'll figure it out, and it'll be sooner rather than later. But Juan Soto, I mean, doesn't he look like – and shout out Clark Schmidt for saying that. It's always nice to hear your buddy saying – telling your organization to give you whatever money you want. That's nice. Doesn't he look like he just belongs in a Yankee uniform? And maybe every other fan base that just heard that wants to puke, probably the Nationals fans want to puke at that, maybe Padres fans. But to me, it really seems like he should be in pinstripes the rest of his career. He looks great at Yankee Stadium, homering into that second deck in right field. Like, we're going to see that if he ends up in New York, that's going to be, we're going to see that 150 more times. Like, this guy is everything that you want in the middle of your lineup, a .456 on base percentage, career .422. And that's, he makes everyone around him better. I cannot right now, Chris, imagine him in a different uniform. And that's scary for the AL East.
Well, so I was going to answer Soto until I saw that they were still bringing up Aaron Judge's toe over the weekend.
Okay.
I had to check the date of the article. I was like, wait, is this a thing from last year when he came back, like the last, you know, whatever? And no, it was more, they're like, they're bringing up the story. And he said yet again, he was like, I told you guys that it'll never be the same. So does that mean that he, that there's a real problem here. I mean, none of us are going to know what he's dealing with. He's the only one, and he and the medical staff, if he's sharing that information. But, man, toes have taken down some of the biggest badasses in the NFL. There was a guy named Jack Lambert, who is a Hall of Fame linebacker for the Steel Curtain when they won 4 of 6 Super Bowls in the 70s. He was as mean. The guy, there's a great Sports Illustrated shot of him smiling one year. He's got no teeth. All right. Okay. He was just a badass MF-er who played middle linebacker at like 205 pounds. He was mean. He was terrible. As a Cleveland Browns fan, I couldn't stand him. And what took his career was a toe, a little toe. Deion Sanders, guy who shut down half of the field and, of course, played Major League Baseball for 7 or 8 seasons as well. What ended Deion's career? A freaking toe. So all I'm saying is that if he's talking about it and it is a bother, it's just something we got to keep an eye on. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to zap all a judge's superpowers, but we can't be like, oh, it's just a toe, because it ain't just a toe.
Well, I mean, lately it's been real bad for Judge. At one point, you know, even though he was struggling, you know, to get hits, he was still getting on base, and he had, I believe, 17 or maybe it was 17 walks, 16 strikeouts. And I was talking about how Volpe and him have really benefited being around Soto and just kind of watching his approach. But then since April 15th, only 1 walk, 2, 4, 7, 8, 12, 14 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's gotten away a little bit from Judge, but again, he's just too good. Like, he'll be okay as long as the toe doesn't bother him too much. It's your feet, dude. I mean, in the box, come on.
Right. One other note on Soto. There's no way he's signing during the season. If he signs an extension during the season, I will do a show shirtless and shave.
Okay, you know what? Let's hold you to that, because I actually do think there's a chance he signs during the season. Yeah.
Why would he?
If he likes it there and the Yankees meet his demands, they're going to try to talk to him, Chris. They're going to say, "What do you want?" And if they go, "Okay." What's the point?
What the point is that
we've seen offers come and go. Yeah. He is right now. Like, mm-hmm. look, okay. We know he's an all-world hitter. But he's crushing the ball at this point. Let's say he ends the year poorly, and there's some reason, like a lot of things can happen. Injury towards the end of the season, like so many things can happen. If you like it in New York, which it seems like he does, and the team gives you what you want, like there's really, you don't have to test free agency if you're getting what you want.
I would agree with you, but when you are this close to it, we're not talking about a pitcher with the possibility of blowing out. How many everyday ball players blow out to the point where they are incapable of putting up future numbers immediately?
I'm just saying you could lose $50 to $100 million if you have some bad injury
or
something to your knee.
Or get an additional $50 to $100 million. Name me the last everyday ball player who went into free agency, got hurt in the last 2 months before free agency. The possibility, here's the thing. I would agree with you if Steve Cohen wasn't an owner in the same exact city as you were playing in. You don't think that he's sitting there going, oh, my God, I would love to.
I don't know if he is. I mean, yeah, sure, he wants to have that guy. But again, like they are so far over that tax threshold that it's going to cost a lot of money. Like
there
whatever it is.
Off the books this year.
Huh?
There are guys coming, both Scherzer and Verlander's stuff come off the books.
I obviously know if he's testing free agency, he's going to be in the running for the Mets. I understand that. But again, what's the saying? Because I always mess up sayings. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Oh, man. Well, that's a dirty one. I don't know why.
I don't. Yeah. Is that a dirty one? I'm not really sure, but it makes sense to me. Like, look, again, if Soto wants to be with the Yankees and he says, hey, this is what I want from you guys, and he gets it.
I'm not saying that it's not the perfect stop for him, because I think it has been. And look at the way that he's ingrained himself in the city, going to Knicks games, going to Ranger, like the whole bit. Like,
you think this offseason, this last offseason, has kind of like, you know, put a little sour taste in every free agent's mouth?
What did Shohei get?
$700 million. Deferred.
What did Yamamoto get without ever throwing a pitch?
I understand that, but why can't the Yankees do that right now?
Well, they could.
That's what I'm saying.
They could.
If you're going to make him that offer in the offseason, why don't you just make it to him right now?
But when you,
that's the advantage of trading for him is the fact that, okay, I know he's a Boris guy and wants Tesfaye, but one of the advantages of trading for him is that you get to talk to him first.
I'm looking at this from the player standpoint as to you have worked so hard to get to this point. Why wouldn't you just let it play out? He's always been a healthy body. He's always put up great. Now, even last year, when the first 6 weeks of the year, he stunk, and he still was far and away the best player on the Padres.
Look, I'm just saying, he's tested a few different cities out now. This is his third organization. It's not like he is one of those guys that's never been with another organization. He understands, right, like sometimes they're fits and sometimes they're not. So if he feels it here,
you and I,
Yankees make him the right offer.
I'm with you. He might already have it made up in his mind that this is the place I want to be. But if somebody's going to pay you an additional $50 to $100 million over the life of your contract more because there's some leverage now, why wouldn't you take it?
I think we saw this offseason. Yeah, you mentioned a couple guys, but I just think there's questions. I think I want to see you do a show shirtless. That'd be fun. I'm just saying there's a chance. You're giving it no chance. I think there is a chance, Chris.
Okay.
The marriage just seems like it's too good.
Okay. It's something fun to keep our eye on. You know what else is fun? If you have a four-legged fur baby in your house like I do, little Sydney, whom we rescued over a decade ago, she is most happy when she's hanging with her peeps, when she's going on a walk, and every time we open the refrigerator. Why? Because several months ago, we introduced her to our friends at the Farmer's Dog. It is food that is developed by veterinarians, made fresh from real meat and veggies, portioned perfectly for your dog, and delivered right to your door. It is smart, healthy pet food that you can feel great about feeding your pup. It is the best option for dogs of all life stages, from puppy to super senior, because it's not kibble. It's not that crap that you open with a can opener. You're like, what is this goo, and why should I be putting this in my dog's body? It is just real healthy food, and it's so easy. You just head on over to thefarmersdog.com, and you fill out a very brief questionnaire. It takes less than 5 minutes. It's the basics. It's how old is your dog? What sort of breed is it? How much does it eat? How much exercise does it get? And then the thing I love about it is that they specifically pre-portion the food for your dog. It comes in freezer packs. So you put them in the freezer, and then when you need them, 24 hours before your pooch needs to eat, you put them and you thaw them out in the fridge. It's that simple. And I love it because they take special care. The package says Sydney on it, so you know it's for your dog and nobody else. That's how much care they give you. And once again, it doesn't matter if your dog is old like Sydney or young and just getting started in this amazing journey. It's always the right time to begin investing in their health. Help keep your dog healthy and playing ball with you with 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/today. Plus, you get free shipping, which is a big deal because it's not any tiny box. It's a big-ass box, so that's a big deal. Head on over to thefarmersdog.com/today. You're going to get half off. And at the end of the day, you will feel fulfilled because your dog will look up at you and say, "Rah, rah, roo. Rah, rah, roo." And there's nothing better than hearing that. All right, we continue on a week later, and here they are, little Cleveland Guardians, best record in baseball. They just keep doing their thing. Thanks in part to Josh Naylor. Did you see he hit a homer off of Alex Wood this weekend and on his way down to first, bangs the helmet and spikes? Dude, he's, and I mean this in the most loving way, he's certifiably nuts.
He's nuts, and every team needs a show pony, and that's what he's doing. He's front and center out there, you know, kind of leading that, you know, the attitude that the Guardians have. And I love it, man. Like, he's turned into a hell of a hitter, man.
He really has.
He's really hitting lefties this year as well. Like, he's just kind of turned into a complete hitter, and it's been a lot of fun to watch, man. But yes, he's a psycho.
Well, you remember what happened in Chicago a couple of years ago when he hit those two late inning home runs and somebody was calling him like fatty or whatever, and he ran back to the dugout and started going nuts and fired his helmet. Like, that's exactly who he is. And last year, he headbutted Terry Francona after a walk-off win. But he's not just that stuff. Like, that's not what we should be talking about with Josh Naylor. He actually leads the league in batting average since the end of last May. You know,
did you look that up? Because I saw that you sent it. You weren't sure. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I went back and looked it up. And among qualified hitters, it's pretty damn special. he's a guy who I think the Guardians might have missed out on signing an extension to. He's now 2 years away from free agency. I hope that they can keep him around because he's just so special. And I love it that he gets to play with his younger brother, which is really cool.
Chris, this year against left-handed pitchers, 1.3 OPS.
It's pretty good. Give us another person that we need to pay attention to that maybe the baseball world hasn't been doing so.
I've been trying to tell people this, I think since last year, C.J. Abrams. I got to see him play in person and against the Dodgers this year, but just watching him from afar, like you could just tell, like obviously defensively he can make some dazzling plays, but you could just tell like there was more in there offensively. And let's remember, this guy is 23 years old, Chris. Came up in 2022, split some time with the Nationals and the Padres there. You know, the offense has ticked up. 604 OPS that first year as a 21-year-old. Last year's a 22-year-old, 712 OPS. It just takes a little bit of time. And, you know, he was doing it with the glove, you know, manning a very difficult position. But this year, offensively, it's just he's gone nuts. I mean, and the power is there, Chris. He already has 6 homers. He had 18 all of last year. He's got 6 homers already this year. He's got 4 stolen bases. You know, like 2020 is definitely there for him for the taking. Last year, it was 47 stolen bases, 18 homers. I mean, can he get to 30-30? I don't know. But the slash line is incredible this year. 297, 358, 676 for a 1.034. If you can get that from your shortstop position, it's amazing. And, hey, the Nats just took some good series, man. They've been playing good ball.
Yep, and they take on the Dodgers again starting this week on Tuesday, I think it is. They just took care of the struggling Houston Astros. So, yeah, they're almost playing 500 ball.
They're 10-11 right now, yeah.
They've been a much, much better watch. I like that. For me, it's William Contreras, who's part of the reason that the Milwaukee Brewers, even though they are certainly understaffed and a bit undermanned without Christian Yelich over the last week, he's been doing it, man. Over 400 on base percentage, nearly a one dotter. This weekend, they swept St. Louis. They really took it to them. And those are some games that they could have lost in the late going. Here's what I love about him. He seems tough as hell. And I think if you're a Contreras and you're behind the plate, like nobody wants to F with you. It's that simple. He reportedly went out to dinner with his brother over the weekend. And he said, listen, he's my big bro. He's going to keep paying for dinner. There's going to come a time where little bro is going to be paying for dinner because he's going to be making a ton of money. I hope that happens in Milwaukee. They would be smart to sign him to an extension. He's right in the sweet spot. He's 26 years old. You know, he had a really good season in Atlanta, an all-star season before they traded him to Milwaukee. There were reports that people didn't think that he could handle a pitching staff. Well, he's doing okay so far. I'm looking forward. I get a chance to interview his manager, Pat Murphy, tomorrow on the Rose Rotation. I'm going to talk to him specifically about William Contreras and what he means, because I think he's just one of those guys who plays in a quiet Midwestern town that we don't think about much, and he's a budding star.
I love where the catching position is at in the game right now. You talked about William. He is leading all catchers in baseball with a 987 OPS. Right behind him at 985 is our good buddy Sal Perez.
Yes.
Which we talked about this on Talking Baseball. Is there a Hall of Fame case for Sal Perez? Go check it out. But at third, you mentioned his brother Wilson. 939 OPS. So you got the two Contreras brothers, first and third respectively, in catcher's OPS. Pretty cool to see that.
All right, a few crazy moments at NL West ballparks on Sunday. Let's start out at Coors Field. We had a scoreless game in the ninth, which it was only the third time in the history of that park. Jacob Stallings, we thought, maybe hit a walk-off homer. That's Dylan Moore, who's fighting a fan for the ball. So they said no homer. Stallings is standing on second. They have an umpire's review, and they go back and they say, that's fan interference. Stallings, not only does he not hit a game-winning homer, not only does he not get an extra base hit out of it, he gets out as well. And then in San Francisco, we had a weird going. It was a 3-2 game in the ninth. Arizona was leading the Giants, and Kevin Newman was at the plate. And it looked like he swung and missed at strike three. Instead, the umpire says, no, that's a foul tip, which is non-reviewable. Newman ended up getting a base hit, extending the score. Diamondbacks go on and eventually win this one. Bob Melvin and Matt Williams were thrown out afterward because they ran out after Newman got the hit. And they were like, you screwed us. And the ump was like, get the heave-ho. It feels like here in the first 3.5 weeks of the season that there have been a ton of issues with the umpires. Am I reading that the right way, or is it just kind of a bad little run that we're on?
I'm hoping it's a bad little run, but yeah, no, it has been all over the place. I mean, Angel Hernandez has been at the thick of it. Then you get a couple of these reviewable, non-reviewable calls. You know, obviously he did swing and miss there, and it's crazy to me that you can't review that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever that you can't review that. I mean, first of all, you can't see it. Like, you're relying on a sound, and like, what are we doing here? We had a technology that could be done in 10 seconds, right? I'm going to go with the crazier one being the home run that wasn't a homer. I think they got this completely wrong. I think it should have been a home run. Cause I don't think Dylan Moore was in position to catch that ball. It looked like he was just under, and I don't think his body got interfered to by the fan. And the fan obviously touched the ball, but I don't think his glove was in the correct space to catch that ball. I think the ball is going to go over his glove. So it should have been a homer. At the very least, it should have been a double. And I can't imagine being Jacob Stallings and having a lifetime memory taken away from you. And again, not even getting a double for it. You just get to walk back to the dugout. He's going to go straight to the video room and look at it. And I would have been very upset, to say the very least.
You know what we didn't have was the side angle view, like the one where you could have seen it from center field and seen exactly the depth perception of where that person was. I have no idea. I have no idea why they overturned it. At the very least, it should have been a double.
Yes.
At the very least, he should have been standing on second with a chance to win the game. The good news is for the Rockies, they eventually had a walk-off, and it didn't cost them anything in the standings. I'm trying to say it with a straight face, but you understand what I'm getting at. It didn't cost them a victory. So that part is good. The stuff that we can't review things inside of the bags. I wish that at their next meeting, somebody says it out loud. Once again, when you say stuff out loud and you hear it and you're like, oh my God, that's the dumbest thing ever. What do you mean we can't review anything that's inside of the bags? That's stupid.
Yes.
Like, this, guys, go say it at your next meeting at Major League Baseball offices. Go do it. Try that exercise. Say it out loud. And then repeat after me. You can't review anything that happens inside the bags, in front of the bags. And tell me whether or not it seems smart. Because that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But what does everyone always say? Umpires and players in general. We just want the right call made.
They don't.
Yeah, clearly they don't. Because you could just review pretty much everything.
Okay, which water ball should have gotten more attention this weekend? Patrick Bailey on his bobblehead day. Boy, did he have a monstrous day. He hit a shot into McCovey Cove, and it ended up right in a person's kayak on the fly. Didn't have to chase after. He was just like, oh, what's up, ball? That was cool. And then in Kansas City, weird finish to that game. Colton Cowser's playing outfield. He's been awesome at the plate. But in the outfield, let's pay attention, kiddo. Craig Kimbrell registers his 422nd career save, tying him for seventh all time. Cowser, what does he do? Throws it right over his head and into the fountain without thinking that maybe that could have been an important baseball for Craig Kimbrell. So which one is a little more wild for you?
I think it's the Patrick Bailey homer. How is Colton Cowser supposed to know that unless he read the game notes before? 422nd career save. That's wild. After the game, he did say he yeeted that thing into the fountain, which I liked.
Yeah.
But the Patrick Bailey homer on bobblehead day, directly into the kayak. And I couldn't really tell, Chris. You tell me, or maybe someone could comment if they saw it better than I did. Did they catch that ball, or did that just land right in the lap?
Yeah, hard to tell. I didn't see the full story on it.
That was wild, though, to think about the chances of that happening, man. Especially, like, again, on your own bobblehead day, kayak in the perfect spot.
Yeah, and what happens, like, you can hear it, I imagine, when you're in the cove, but
you can hear the roar of the crowd.
Right, and what happens if you can't find the ball, right? Because you don't know where you're looking. Yeah.
Get smacked right in the face.
And then what do we have? Then we have somebody falling into the cove. Unconscious. Then we got all sorts of issues here. Pay attention.
If that happened, do you think we'd have to have helmets in the cove? Some regulations out there?
Mandatory helmets. It's going to be like with first base and third base coaches. Mandatory helmets in the cove. Just to pay attention, please.
I want to do that. Jake asked if I wanted to do that with him, but I think I'd rather do it with you. get you out in that water. We can go topless there.
Yeah, not a good look for me, once again. Okay. I'm better standing up because I'm all torso. When I get like hunched over, like in a sitting setting, then the rolls start coming.
Oh, the rolls? That's okay. Everyone has rolls when they sit down.
You don't have rolls.
Depends how I'm sitting.
Rolls. God, it must. What's it like to be the figurine they put on the top of a wedding cake?
I am not in great shape right now. I have been partying too much. I've been on vacation too much. I need to get back and grind it out.
Show's over. When you start going down this road, show's over. Not listening to you.
I did look great this weekend, though.
Yeah. Well, there's one person that we could ask about that. Hey, hey, hey.
What?
Hey,
don't bring her into this.
An A-lister was complimentary of you.
Oh, yeah. I'm not dropping any names anymore. People get mad when I do that. I'm just trying to like spread the love. I don't know.
Can you just say this one, please? It's a great one.
No, I won't. Fine. Jessica Biel said a nice thing to me. That was pretty cool for me. Okay.
All right. It's good to have you back. Although we want to thank Stephen Brawl, who did a great job on Friday. And we're so happy that he's found his way in this broadcasting career. I hope he finds all of the riches and excitement, whichever direction he wants to go with it. So he did a nice job. We are back at this again on Tuesday. We'll probably go in live at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. So for our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, hi, Jessica Biel. I am Chris Rose. We will see you Tuesday on Baseball Today.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.